Assalamu alaikum, everyone. You're listening to episode one of Isn't Mo Muslim Though? This is your host, Ziad Dalaboy. Today, we have a really special guest. His name is Nadeem Nizamuddin. He is a host of his own podcast, 23's The Mic. Make sure to definitely check that out. But yeah, so before we get started about who Nadeem is, I'm going to let him say hello, and then we'll get started into our first question.
All right, assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having me on the show.
No, definitely. So before we get into who you are, where you've been, how you raised, all that, I wanted to ask, what was the weirdest, most bizarre, or like funniest thing that non-Muslim has like said to you or like encounter that you've had?
So, alhamdulillah, you know, I've been raised with a lot of Muslims in the Chicagoland area. It's very dense here. We have a giant community here. But my first taste of public school was in freshman year of high school at Maine West High School in Des Plaines.
And freshman year of high school?
Freshman year of high school, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, mashallah. but I was on the freshman basketball team, and I was like a decent basketball player. I don't play basketball anymore, but I used to like, you know, I used to score points, as they say.
Yeah. My
shot used to be wet, you know what I'm saying? Like
as a D3 college athlete,
oh, wow.
I didn't score any points. So yeah.
So wide range here on the show. But whenever I'd like hit a shot, these like guys on my team would like, you know, scream like terrorists, like chants and things like that. Like or Eric, it's like, oh, no, 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 like that kind of thing. And I would embrace it. I thought that was like really funny.
Nowadays, that'd be like pure Islamophobia.
Oh,
you'd be
for the sure, office. For sure. This PC culture that we have today would not stand for that at all. For me, I was like, whatever about it. These are like my friends and stuff, so I guess that was the funniest thing that a non-Muslim has done for me. And recently I've been going to a lot of weddings and like family weddings and whatnot. And my white friends have reached out to me and they've been asking me, yo, are you at Nick Jonas's wedding, bro? So I'm like, no. But it's like the same thing, basically.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. You know, I'm actually really glad that this whole wedding was all over Twitter, because I can finally point to something when my friends ask, like, why do you guys' weddings take like 2 weeks? I was like, look, go check out.
Yeah, how long have they been married for? I feel like their wedding like lasted like 2 months.
There was a lot of events.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's basically how we Desis do. That's just how brown people do.
And honestly, like, would you rather have it any other way?
Yeah, no. I mean,
you want one event and just like sitting there like, okay.
You know, when I got married, I would have wanted it to be one event. But for when other people get married, I'm definitely down for the whole week of events.
Exactly. I feel the same way. Like, I feel like my wedding, I want it to be just, like, you know, nice, peaceful. But, like, every other wedding, I want it to be rowdy. Because, like, for, like, you know, like, non-Muslim weddings, it's about the couple. We were just talking about this on my podcast the other day, 23's the Mic. Follow us at Twitter, or on Twitter and Instagram. But we were talking about this the other day where for our Desi weddings, our cultural weddings, it's all about the food.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
All
yeah.
about the food.
If that's the food how you isn't good, it. Then like the wedding
the is wedding is canceled.
Yeah.
Like you're over it. You don't want to talk about it. It sucked. Like it's on in the next one.
No, that's very true. Because I went to a friend's wedding back in Houston like a couple months ago. I don't even remember the food because it wasn't the main portion of the like wedding. Like I remember how they had. You ever watch that Ninja Lego movie?
No.
Ninjago, whatever. I never saw it either, but the movie.
Yeah, never saw it either. But you watch it? Oh shoot, you did? I didn't see it either.
Either way, with the movie theaters, they used to have like this like Lego type thing where you could like spin the like, different cardboard pieces, and you would have like the Lego head, body, and legs match up from different.
Okay, characters. Yeah.
So they actually got one from a movie theater. When they were about to throw
and
it away.
And that was like the feature part of the wedding?
They put their Bitmojis on there. So you could like mix and match like the couple's Bitmojis.
Oh my God.
So it's like, I mean, when you're not spending like for food on like 1,000 people, you can do this. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you had like the photo booth things.
Oh man, photo booths are all the craze. That's everyone check out my brother-in-law's. My brother-in-law was a photo booth company. Shout out Hamza Dada.
You have that. I think it's like about like how extravagant you can make your wedding now. But like, for us, at least, at the end of the day, like, it comes down to food.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't know you, like, crazy well, and I shouldn't be saying this, but if I don't know you crazy well, like, and you invited me to your wedding, if the food's not good, like, yeah. I'm leaving.
Like right if I'm away. Crashing, the food better be good. Like, why else am I crashing this wedding?
Yeah, I mean, why else? You got nothing to do on a Friday night. Just hit up, like, Ashiana or Drury Lane. There's bound to be something there.
Okay, but so you said that your first days of public school was freshman year.
Freshman year high school.
Where were you at before then?
So I, alhamdulillah, was raised in an Islam, not raised in, but I went to an Islamic school for kindergarten to sixth grade.
Just dropped you off.
Yeah, they just like they dropped me off there. They like with the wolves. But I was I attended an Islamic elementary school from kindergarten to sixth grade called Avros Academy, which if you've heard about this, you know this is very rare for people to have heard of nowadays because it was in Northbrook at a Bosnian mosque called ICC. And it was like our own little community, all moderates, nothing too crazy. I don't know, I shouldn't call out the TJs or anything on this show, but nothing too crazy, like a CPSA or IFS, nothing like that. It was like a moderate bunch of little kids, like we had our own little family. It felt like there was like, I think like 150 kids throughout the entire school. So pretty small.
Isn't that like bigger than CPSA?
Kind of, I don't know. But that's where I went for kindergarten and sixth grade, and then I went to the masjid for seventh and eighth grade.
So you did HIVS while like taking the classes, or?
There was classes at the masjid.
Oh wow!
They
had, okay,
they
cool.
offered, so it was cool. It was like a parent support group. They hired a teacher, and they had classes.
Nice.
Shout out Potter and his plans. And then, I know they have like protests at Jummah now, but like back in the day, they used to be cool.
Like every masjid's got to go through its dramas.
Yeah. Potter's the only one that hasn't until now because they don't have a youth program.
And then you did 2 years of public school?
So I did 2 years of public school at Maine West. I used to live in Des Plaines, and then we moved to between Schaumburg and Lombard, that area, and I attended CPSA for 11th and 12th grade.
The notorious CPSA.
And let me tell you, I think going to 11th and 12th grade was probably the best because I don't have like the CPSA scaries that everyone else has. All the teachers were nice to me or they just didn't care about me and just wanted me to pass, so...
Every time I remember that Nadim like went to CPSA, I always like tell him, "Oh, but you don't seem like you went to CPSA."
I'm not hit with the CPSA awkward phase.
But I think it's interesting because it's not like you went to public school from K through 10. You went through private school most of the time. It just seems like you're
natural. No, but like the private school that I went to, it wasn't like. It was like, you know, like boys and girls were together in classes.
It
was elementary school, so you had nothing to worry about. There was no drama, none of those like bad toxic things that we've seen like Islamic schools nowadays. It was like peaceful, like back in the day, like we all used to get together. Like, dude, 9/11, it happened when I was in first grade. And like we were like a tight knit family and we were like all together and things. We remember that and we build from it. And like we were pretty mature kids, I have to say. But it was nice. It was like a nice kind of environment. Where it was completely open, we used to play sports, we used to basically do like whatever we wanted during recess and things like that, and we like actually had like good friendships and carnal relationships, so it was really cool. And it was like not just because it was built by a bunch of our parents, actually. Like my dad was really involved in it, my mom was really involved in it, my uncles, aunts and stuff. So it was basically our community that we already had, like my parents and their friends built this school. So it was like all of us that were friends outside school.
And then you like finished with it and they're like, all right, peace out. We're not going to run this anymore.
So they went until 2009 and then that's when they stopped running it. But it was like my favorite Islamic school. I missed that place.
Then in terms of your experience at Maine West for those 2 years of public school, how like, was it a really big culture shock for you entering there?
So no, because I used to play in brown. I think brown kids might be doing this more nowadays. But back in the day, I was the only brown kid maybe on the face of the planet that played baseball. And I played baseball.
I think it's still to the day.
I played baseball from fourth grade all the way till sophomore year of high school. So I played Little League and travel, and I was friends with guys that were on the baseball team going into college. So I had friends going into the high school and stuff. And for the most part, I'd hang out with them in high school even. So that kind of gave me a good foundation, kind of made me feel like, you know, I belonged or I was like welcome into the high school environment. Because, man... That place nowadays, like high school, that high school environment's so rough now. You can so easily get lost and people are always, like kids are always getting lost in it.
Yeah, so no, definitely. I mean, like I went through, you know, public school my entire time. Well, I did like a few years of private school for like kindergarten, first grade, but not even Islamic private school. I think
Catholic school?
Nah, it was just a generic Montessori.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We didn't have a lot of, I've noticed there's a lot more Catholics here than there are in Houston. Like in Houston, the Catholic scene isn't as big. There's a lot more just like Southern Protestants.
You have what's his name? Joel Osteen. That's my guy, dude.
Yeah, but he ain't Catholic.
Is he Lutheran?
He's Joel Osteen.
He's his own thing.
He's part of that just like Evangel- I think he's evangelical.
Evangelical, right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always see when I go to Houston, I always like drive by his giant Lakewood church thing.
You know, that used to be the Rockets arena.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so man. The Rockets moved from there to the Toyota Stadium or whatever, and he bought that and turned it into Lakewood Church.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's
but like I don't know if he's controversial still anymore, because I remember during Hurricane Harvey, like everyone hated him because he wasn't letting people in. So like I don't know if it's okay to say, because you know, like it's crazy, and this might be a complete tangent, but like but it's related. This is Islamic. We have like our scholars and stuff that are kind of being dragged down nowadays. So you don't know if it's like okay to like still follow their teachings and their learnings. Like obviously you have no monolith on that thing blew up like crazy. But like my favorite scholar, and it might be controversial, is Humza Yousaf.
Mm.
And I love Humza. Like I've grown up loving Humza Yousaf. Humza Yousaf was actually the keynote speaker at Avro's Academy's fundraising dinner back in 2007, I believe.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It was a big deal.
Yeah, that was like a big deal. Yeah.
And I used to, like, growing up, I used to love him. Even now, I still love him. Like, just his teachings are, I know we're not supposed to, you know, celebritize scholars and stuff, but his presence, like, in a room is just, like, uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everything happened at RIS, and, like, there's, like, details that are being thrown up. There's rumors being spread. Everything's
set. And RIS isn't even, like, the latest controversy with him.
Is it not? I'm not up to date on his controversies. But, that's my guy, man. I can't, like, you know, be shifted away from him. Because, like, with Noman Ali Khan, that's blatant. Like, no, dude. Like, that's a no-go. When it comes to Yousaf, like, there's, like, nitpicky controversies. There's, like, different sides, different ways you can take the things that he's saying. So I feel like with Joel Osteen, it's kind of like the same thing. Because he always, like, remember, like, before football, would be on Sundays. You'd have, like, that on ABC or something. He'd have, like, an hour of television. And I legit wouldn't take in anything he said, but just his delivery. It's so nice and peaceful,
what's
man.
Funny is that, like, a lot of these mega churches, like, his style, where, like, they're huge, like, they have stadiums and stuff. A lot of what they say is just generic, like, self-help stuff.
And
there's not even a lot of Christianity tied into it. It's a lot of just, like, let's work hard, let's motivate ourselves.
But the way he does it...
You know, he even says, don't eat pork.
That's my guy. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's my guy.
He says, like,
gotta stand by
he's
him.
Like, the pig is a dirty animal, we shouldn't eat it and stuff. And you're just like, yeah, bro, you should become Muslim.
For real. Like, I just love his, like, hand gestures. And just, they're so calm and peaceful. You know what I'm saying? Like, he does this thing where he's like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we should look back on things and not eat pork. Help our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. And he has this thing with, like, his S's that he does that are just, like...
Was that your Southern accent right there?
that's just good. Because he doesn't... Oh, yeah, he does.
Nadeem was born in Oklahoma.
I was born in Oklahoma, yes.
He spent 1 year there, so obviously he's an expert in all things.
I'm huge on Oklahoma sports.
Yeah. I mean, we also refer to Oklahoma in this apartment as North Texas, because that's what they want to be, but...
Oh, boy, we're better than Texas. We're so much better than Texas.
Let's be real. There is nothing in Oklahoma.
Listen, Baker Mayfield came from Oklahoma. Blake Griffin came from Oklahoma.
That's not... The second one isn't helping you. I'm all for Baker, but I don't care about Blake.
I mean, I guess no one cares about Blake. Remember that whole thing where he jumped over a car? I know that was like 8 years ago, but we still remember that as like something big. That was cool for its time. But yeah, I was born in Oklahoma, and that's one of my favorite fun facts. Because, you know, like whenever you have those icebreakers, tell us something about yourself. Oh, I'm a brown kid that plays baseball, and I was born in Oklahoma, so... Try to predict that one. See where this train leads.
You hit the checkboxes. Like, you'd be, like, in a comic or something.
Yeah.
Who's Nadeem? He plays baseball. He's from Oklahoma. It's like, oh, that's very diverse.
What else do they do? Oh, I'm also a closet superhero.
No, so did you end up going to Oklahoma for university?
No, I went to UIC. I wish I went to Oklahoma.
You could have been there with Baker.
I could have.
So while you were at UIC, did you you join the MSA and everything?
Yeah, I wasn't like on Shura, but I was like always active in the MSA. Our MSA was thriving, man. We had a good run.
Yeah.
We had a good run. We had probably the largest MSA population in the city, at least.
I mean, I think that's like definitely true because UIC just overall has the biggest population.
Yeah. But we had like a lot of Muslims, we had a lot of events. One thing that was really cool, and this is like another tangent. The UIC was the first time since Avro's that I saw like different cultures of Muslims mixing, because after I left Avro's, Brown stayed with Browns.
You were just like in a hydro bubble.
Yeah, because everyone was hydro, and then when I went to CPSA, then you see Packies, but the hydros would bully the Packies, and that was the first time I was like introduced to this divide. And I didn't understand it. Yeah, I was like, of Indian, really, you're brown. Like, chill out. There's not like a big deal between the two of you. And then all this stuff. Biryani, palau, and nihari, and zaban, and all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm always on like the outside of even that divide. Because I just don't like biryani.
Well, you're a good Jew, so that's like different. You're on the outside. People like, always legitimately get on the outside.
They're like, good Jew. What's that?
What is that? Yeah.
They're like, so wait, are you Indian or are you Pakistani? And then I get to go into like my 10-minute spiel about where I came
from. Yeah. But at UIC, the Arabs and the Desis came together. And I had like Arab friends for the first time in like 10 years.
That's what college does. It brings people together.
I mean, not at like BU and like
Loyola. Well, BU, DePaul. I don't think there are Arab people. I think it's just, it's just CPSA extended.
CPSA and IFS just go into BU. And then you have DePaul, which is mostly Desi. Loyola, which is primarily Desi. But like UIC was like, we had like good Arab guys. We were like chill. We chill with them.
You know where a lot of the Arabs go?
Bridgeview.
I was gonna say Berkeley. That's just where they are. I was gonna say a lot of them go to IIT.
Oh, okay.
It's because they're smart. They got into.
I don't know. No one knows what IIT is. Nobody knows what IIT is yet. You can hype it up as much as you want.
Not anymore. I used to hype it up. I used to be all about IIT.
It's hella dangerous out there too. I went there for Dharani's.
Y'all are ridiculous. It is not dangerous.
It's Cooper. It's in the south side of the ghetto.
It's not even in the south. It's by Guaranteed
Rate Field.
The worst stadium name ever.
Oh my God. And the nickname, the G-Spot. That's so much worse, man.
But yeah, no, I mean, Illinois Tech, I'm going to say, it used to be amazing. I think they still do, but we would have like iftar every night of Ramadan. And it would be awesome because even though we had a population of like Arabs, Desis, we also had a lot of international kids.
It was 44%.
Yeah, for IIT. Yeah. We have a lot of international.
So I think that's what really creates a family.
Yeah, because we also had a full masjid at IIT.
Yeah.
So that was really awesome because people had a space that they could go to. And so that was always a lot of fun. And I think that was something that set us apart from the other universities in terms of for MSA, people had like a space they could go to no matter what time.
Yeah, I think so. And also like, I don't know. I feel like IIT kids never branched out.
Well, yeah, in terms of like, I feel like a lot of, like, Chicago overall is very cliquish, and that kind of transfers to, like, the university MSAs are pretty cliquish. Only recently did I see, like, they had, like, an event, like, last year where, like, four MSAs combined together to host it. I only saw that recently, like, kind of MSAs reaching out to, like, each other. Whereas down in Texas, they have, like, Showdown, where all the colleges' MSAs get together and basically do, like, MIST for college kids. And that's, it's like,
lit.
Yeah.
MIST is lit.
MIST is lit. Shout out MIST.
For all you haters of MIST, MIST is lit. Except for when it's at UIC.
That was great. I liked it at UIC.
You did?
I like it more in the city, just because I don't like the suburbs.
I like it. Being a suburban kid my entire life, I personally like the fact that I can drive from 25 minutes away to get to BU from MIST. And I mean, when I was in CPSA, like MIST was at BU, so it kind of like brought back memories. Like, gotcha. Last time I was there. But yeah, I mean, MIST is cool. I think it's cool because it also gives you kind of a space to, because in high school, your MSA, I don't know any high school, I don't know any like big high school MSAs anymore. Like back in the day, we had like our Glenbard MSAs that were really big. But I think that MIST kind of gives the Muslim kids like a platform to really get to know each other, like throughout the community.
And yeah, kinda, definitely. Like,
yeah, it gives you.
I think especially space. Since if you're going to a public school, that MSA and then going to like MIST with all your Muslim friends and like getting to see everyone there is very, very like beneficial. Cause like if you're going up at a public school with not a lot of Muslims around you and stuff, I know Chicago it's less so, but there's still some high schools where people, you know, don't see many Muslims on a day-to-day basis. Having that opportunity, you know, to go to MIST and just meet a lot of people and make some connections, that's a really big deal for a lot of people. And that was for me, like in high school, I did it for 4 years running. So that was a lot of fun and I always had a lot of fun.
I want like MIST to like come together in something outside of Nationals. That'd be cool.
We just gotta do it. We gotta make it.
Just gotta make it happen.
Nah, definitely. So now you've graduated, you're working. How's navigating work in the downtown area?
I mean, it's to be expected what it usually is. I think the hardest part was graduating from college and just working full time and like not being able to see your friends on the daily, not being able to see your friends whenever you want, just being at school or whatever. And I feel like one thing that I really needed was to pursue a passion in something outside of work. And that's why we started the podcast. I think that really helped us with our, or helped me at least, really enhance my work ethic and just provide that I have something outside of work. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause I was, I did, you know, like, I don't know if you went through this, but when I graduated, like, I feel like, and this happens to a lot of people, like, there's that, like, one, like, that phase of depression that, like, you don't want, that, like, post-college depression.
Yeah.
And I kept pushing it off because I graduated, then we had Ramadan. So in Ramadan, like, everyone sees each other.
Did you start working immediately, or did you take, like, did you start after Ramadan?
I started working immediately, basically.
So you worked, like, you
I worked started, through Ramadan.
So, yeah. So this was your first Ramadan where you were working full-time through it.
Yeah, yeah. And, so I was like pushing it off through Ramadan, and because like you'd see people, you know, you still go out of your way to do things. And then right after Ramadan ended, I started traveling like crazy. I went to New York, I went to Seattle.
Yeah, you were gone Vancouver. A lot of times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was gone for like the whole entire month of July, basically. And then I came back, and then I went to Lollapalooza. And I was like, this is my last hurrah. Like trying to just like push it back as far as I can. And then for all of August, it was basically go to work, come back home, go to work, come back home, go to work, come back home. Because I like tired myself out through everything. And then what was really cool is we got this idea for the podcast, like to start it. And I was like sports and entertainment, because those are two things that people are interested in. But I'm very interested in both of those things, because it's like you're mixing pop culture and my biggest love is like sports. And so we started this podcast. It went really well. We met so far. It's been 2 months since we started, 2.5 months. And we've met like really cool people, like within the actual sports industry, like ESPN people, CBS sports people. So it's really cool. And inshallah, you know, just keep going up from here. So that's something that we're trying to work on and build.
What's the field that you've seen in terms of meeting people? How diverse is it? Or is it like you guys are like the only brown kids doing this type of podcast and this type of stuff?
Diversity in terms of the podcasting realm, everyone can have their own podcast. I don't think that's an issue or like a niche that you really have to like fall under. You just have to have really a passion for it. I wouldn't say I'm like the smartest guy when it comes to sports, but I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like I love it and I will do the research and I'll look into it. I like listen to sports shows all day. And I just really love just sports in general, like football, basketball, baseball. Those are my favorite, and soccer even, like just like the love and passion for it. And the thing that's like interesting is in sports media, there's already an established field. Mm-hmm. There's no really taking over from these guys on ESPN. You can't like jump into ESPN and be like the new like anything, because they only take established players. So what it is, yeah, is it's basically like using them to your advantage and trying to like gain all the knowledge and insight that you can from them. And it's funny because Adam Abdallah, who I'm not sure if he's like practicing Muslim, but like he must be like some sort of like, he's Egyptian. Mm-hmm. So he's been helping us out a lot.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
And he's like really cool. And he's from, he's the producer on ESPN 1000. So like their main shows, he produces them. So he's really cool. And like, I feel like we're entering the realm with him where we're going to be like, yo, so like how's Ramadan and stuff? And like, it's funny because like he brought it up. Like he's like, oh, are you guys Muslim and stuff? And I was like, oh, damn, he said Muslim. Like, I was like, man, I thought he was one of us, man. And, but yeah, like, we were like, it was funny, like, tiptoeing, like, the line to, like, ask him about, like, that, but, like, you know, keeping it professional, but you don't want to, like, overstep your boundaries and things like that.
Yeah, it's always hard, like, whenever you enter a place or, like, a workforce and you see someone who has, like, what you would think a stereotypical Muslim name or, like, a stereotypical Muslim background, but at the same time, you're like, are you though? Yeah. I don't really know you from the community.
Like, is Mo Muslim?
Like, is Mo Muslim or not?
Yeah, and it's funny. The one thing I really don't like, it's a trend I'd say is people that are kind of conforming to more like a societal norm. Mm-hmm. Where they're like changing their names and like, you know, letting like just conforming to what's around them rather than like sticking to their religion. And I think that's tough. That's like a challenge that people have to overcome, I feel.
Yeah,
I feel
no, like, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's also very interesting, especially like working in Chicago, we're kind of blessed because there's a lot of Muslims.
Yeah.
And we have that opportunity where it's not like Muslims aren't like so much of a strange thing anymore. But at the same time, like you still enter some industries and some workforces where it's like, do I need to shave my beard for this interview?
Yeah.
I always felt like I remember people would do that like at career fairs in college, and I'd be like, do you really want to work for the company that you felt like you needed to shave your beard to interview there?
Like, yeah, they don't accept you for who you are.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, that's what you need out of life. You need everyone to just accept you for who you
are. Like, don't go with the scraggly beard. Get that cleaned up. Don't go clean shave it.
Yeah, it's funny. But it's also funny to see, like randomly dudes with, like, giant beards working in the business environment. I was like, hey, good for you, right, my dude. But just, like, get that cleaned up. But, like, good for you.
That's like, was it Dr. Hussain? Abdul Sattar, where he works, what is that, University of Chicago.
Yeah.
Legit, I've had more non-Muslims come to me talking, like, be like, hey, this guy is amazing, like, for pathology. And they have no idea that he's, like, a leader in the Chicago community, that he's knowledgeable, that, like, everyone loves him and stuff. And, like, the boy's just, like, lit, right? Like, he has a big beard. Creates his own
textbook.
Yeah, like, he does it all. And everyone's just like, yeah, he's so chill. And it's, like, and the thing is because, like, he is so great at what he does that it doesn't matter what he does outside. Like, as long as, like, you're going into work with that great work ethic, as long as you're working hard, as long as, like, you're putting up, like, where it's not, like, where you've become a hindrance to the company, they're not going to really care if,
yeah,
you know, like, you're fasting during Ramadan, or if you need to take, like, go for
Jumma. Yeah, as long as your performance and your production is up there, then.
Right. Like, if you're gone for, like, 3 hours for Jumma and you come back and still haven't done your work, yeah, obviously they're going to be like, yo, bro, where you at?
Yeah, no more 2 hour Jumma breaks without you, though.
How long do you take for Jumma usually on Fridays?
Like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I usually.
It's always, it was a tradition, man. We go to DIC for Jumma, then you go to UB afterwards.
That's a little bit of a walk, like, from your work, from both places.
Good,
right?
Exercise, man. You gotta do it.
Yeah, man. RIP UB, man.
RIP UB, man.
Boy just needs a break. But all right. This has been a great episode. I mean, it was really interesting to see that, you know, you spent most of your time at private school, but, you know, the few years you had in public school weren't too crazy. I feel like for many people who spend most of their life in private school, they have a much bigger culture shock when they hit public school.
Definitely, definitely. I've definitely seen that throughout, like, the CPSA friends that I have through college. Definitely, there's a huge culture shock. Even in interactions just with, like, different people, non-Muslims and things, they definitely have a much harder time, I guess. And I don't know, it kind of does give private school a bad rep. And especially in today's day and age, I think that the people in private schools have kind of, like, conformed to societal norms. And what that has done is kind of make the private school not as much of a sanctuary or a safe haven as it used to be back in the day. Or as, like, you know, people that come from overseas and, like, Muslim parents, like, think that private schools are. So I feel like a lot more kids are just entering the public school because there's not much difference than private school. And you're not paying $6,000 a year, right? And I feel like there's not as big of a difference. And I feel like what would be nice would be to implement maybe a more moderate kind of system within an Islamic school, high school, or what have you, that kind of allows, it kind of doesn't restrict you. Because what if, like, when people are restricted by things, what do they want to do? They want to rebel.
Yeah.
When they're limited by something, they want to jump over the border.
Or I feel like a lot of times they're much more of a bubble school. And so they want to try, like, break out, but then, like,
exactly,
they get hit.
Exactly.
Like, if it becomes a little bit more open where, like, their experience or, like, you know, they interact more with the outside, it becomes much more of an opening environment.
Yeah. And I remember one story from CPSA, and CPSA, like, when I went to CPSA, I felt like I was completely in prison, basically, because I was cut off from any non-Muslim interaction because CPSA offered very limited non-Muslim interaction. They had, like, competitions and that sort of thing. But in terms of, like, actual non-Muslim interaction, there was one event called Model UN.
Hey, Model UN.
Yeah. And it used to be at the Palmer House in Chicago.
Yeah, something I used to go.
Crazy fun. It was awesome. And that, we would, like, meet, like, non-Muslim kids, guys and girls, and it'd be like, whoa, what are, like, you aliens? Like, what is this? Like, because for me, even coming with that public school background and, like, you know, being, like, you know, relatively moderate my entire life up until then, being in CPSA for, like, the 6-7 months I was there before Model UN, I was, like, falling into the sunken place. I don't know if you've seen that out.
Yeah,
like, I was, like, slowly being crept into this sunken place. And then by that time, no idea who I was. Because CPSA, or, like, maybe not CPSA, but the people around CPSA, like, you, like, you assimilate, right, to the people that you hang around often, especially if literally everybody is, like, like one kind of personality type and you're over here on the side. So you kind of have to like, you're at an Islamic school, you got nowhere to go. You move to a completely different place. You got no friends. Like you got to like assimilate yourself to that. So like I would like slowly see antics where I would be changing into them. For like one of the things is, I don't know if you realize this, but like people that like hella conservative people that were like raised by like crazy conservative parents and things like that, they don't ever ring your doorbell.
Really?
They never ring your doorbell. They'll call you, they'll text you, but they'll never ring your doorbell. And I thought that was the weirdest thing. And when they come inside, they just go straight to where the party is. So like usually like when you're chilling with your boys, you'd be in the basement. They come inside, they go straight to the basement. There was no like, oh, salam alaikum, auntie, uncle, yeah, or anything I mean, like that. You know, like,
come you in and say salam to everyone, and then,
there was none of that. And it was crazy. You think that the one place that there would be like, create like a lot of adab and like an Islamic school, a great environment, safe haven, sanctuary, had the least adab I've ever like encountered in my life.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it was really weird. That was more of a culture shock to me than anything.
You got culture shocked going into CPSA.
Yeah, and it was like the opposite of what I expected. And then, like, going to Model UN.
So you were the Mo of CPSA, basically.
Basically, yeah. I was the Mo. And, like, I was the white kid. Like, straight up. Like, everyone was like, oh, you're so whitewashed. You don't know or do that well. I was like, why
you're like, you want to play baseball? They're like, cricket?
Dude, for real. They're like, who plays baseball and all these things? And this is, like, I've said this on the podcast, so I'm not afraid to admit this. I introduced Vampire Diaries to CPSA people, and it caught. It spread like a wildfire. Everybody was on it. And it was the most talked about show in CPSA in the years like 2013, 2014.
They hated you. The administration definitely hated you. Like, no doubt.
They're like, what is this kid doing? Who is this kid?
They're like, Vampire Diaries is for us.
And then the craziest thing was in my senior year, like halfway through, we got a new principal. And this principal guessed of all the places where he was from.
Oklahoma.
Wait, really? Yeah. Shout out Dr. Riaz, my dude. Oklahoma. And he like knew my parents and everything.
Wait, Kamran?
Huh?
Dr. Kamran Riaz?
No.
I was like, I don't know.
I forgot his last name. But his name is Dr. Riaz. He's hella cool. And he like knew my parents. Like, oh, what's up, Nadine? I was like, what up, dude? How's Baker doing? How's Kyler?
He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just one of two Muslim people there and you left, so.
But all right, that was great. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
No problem.
Now that you endured my awkward questions, you can plug whatever you want to plug. Go ahead.
Yeah. Catch us. Should I plug ours too?
Yeah. Plug whatever.
Yeah. So catch us at 23's the mic on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me individually at TheDreamN22 on Twitter and on Instagram at NadimN22. I'm always putting up like polls and stuff. So very interactive. You know what I'm saying? I'm very interactive with my friends. Also, me and Ziad started a podcast called This Binge Watcher's Life, where we're recapping different TV shows. On the first season of This Binge Watcher's Life, you can catch us recapping Titans. So really excited for that. And yeah, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure. And you're a great host, one of the best talk show hosts around. So definitely, definitely tune into this podcast. Ziad's the guy, dude. Al-Maghrib Amir. He's like... He doesn't want to be in charge of Miz, but he's in charge of Miz.
Like, basically, from behind the scenes.
Like, basically, like, he's like last year, he's like, no, I'm not going to be in it. I'm not going to be in it. And the weekend of is just all Ziad. Like, I was like, Ziad, what do you want me to do? He's like, don't worry about it. Just let me handle it. So Ziad's that guy.
Miz for life. You never actually ever leave Miz. That's how it goes.
I mean, I'm doing it this year. But, like, I guess... Yeah, but, Dad, thanks for having me on.
Definitely. It was great having you on. It was great talking to you. We'll look out for our next episode. It'll be coming out in a couple weeks. See everyone soon. Bye.
Salam. That was fun.